This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, just a second. How are you, sir? Have a good weekend. Just noticed a buddy there, and I've got my air conditioner on full. It's actually starting to warm up a little bit. We've had such a mild summer so far. I was kind of hoping it was going to stay mild, but we usually get pretty warm on the sunny in the summers around here. So, it is not even close to warm yet. I mean, it's really been very, very, very mild here. It's only 88. We've been known to top 100 around here, so we've still got lots of degrees to go. They say this weekend it's going to be in the 90s, which is fine. That's fine. No problem. Comes from growing up in the Philippines. I don't really mind the heat too much. Just gotta respect it. You gotta respect the heat. Anyways, so it's been a good week at work. It has been a good week at work. Got some things accomplished we needed to get accomplished. Moving forward on a lot of different fronts. Some interesting negotiations going on at this point. So, we'll see how this all turns out. We will just see. So anyways, moving closer. We've been looking at this K2 and it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. So, we'll see. You know, it's one of those things that you hope for something that's just going to be spectacular, and sometimes you just say, well, that's pretty good. You know, it's got a few little things that I was hoping for more, but it's okay. It's all right. It'll be interesting to see, just over the long term, what happens in the market with these types of systems. Because I think they all show a lot of promise. But we're not quite ideal yet. You know, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. But just little things. So, anyways, that all seems to be going fine. And the rest of the work is going fine. Sorry, I'm blanking out a little bit because I'm a little tired this week. I've been running this week, trying to get some of these things in place. Anyways, so. The other thing that's been going on this month is I've been editing book 4 of the Windfall series. Boy, this is the glamorous part about being a writer. But I'm making progress. I'm just going to keep slogging through it. We're going to get there. I had to tell one of my beta readers, I might have mentioned this last week, I had to tell one of my beta readers, yes, I understand this is not the best writing that I can do. Because as I told that beta reader, I could spend 2 years working on every single one of these books, really honing down, polishing. Easily, I could spend 2 years per book. But if I did that, I would be dead before the series gets done. So it's one of those, maybe not dead, but I wouldn't have time for anything else. It's just splash it onto the page as fast as you can and just keep moving. Then once this one gets out, then I'll decelerate. And I'll start spending some real time editing books and getting them in shape. But you know, for now, it's a good exercise. Windfall is a great exercise, and it's a massive story, and it's got lots of room to talk about lots of stuff. And so that's really fun. On the number five, which is the next one after I finished editing this one, I had to switch parables, and so I don't know exactly what the great moral of the story is with this parable, but you know what? It'll all work out. Just taking it step at a time. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's about it. I came across... Oh! There was one thing from last week that I stumbled across this week that... What was that? It's going to be a follow-on to the whole idea that we live in a virtual reality. I don't know. It probably wasn't important. If I think of it, I'll make a note and we'll talk about it next week. So this week I was watching a TED Talk and I thought, well, you should do a public service announcement and let people know that's coming, in case they haven't seen that before. Not that anybody listens to this podcast, but this development is going to seriously impact the effectiveness of advertisers, the effectiveness of first dates, the effectiveness of parenting. Oy. Goodness, when this thing finally makes it to the cell phones, it is not going to be good. So, the name of the TED Talk was, Can You Tell If a Kid Is Lying? And it was very cute. The speaker was named Kang Lee, and he's been doing research for 20 years. Studying how children learn to tell lies, which, of course, we know that's just the flesh. But it does give us an indication of how soon the flesh emerges. And it's really early. So he asked all the people in the TED audience, how many of you will raise your hand and admit to the fact that as a child you told a lie, and most people did. He said, wow, this is the most honest group I've ever met. But anyways, he's been studying that. He told a really cute, cute story from a Mr. Richard Messina, who's an elementary school principal. He said one day he got a phone call, and the caller said, Mr. Massima, my son Johnny will not come to school today because he's sick. Now, Mr. Messina has been an elementary principal for long enough that he knows the questions to ask. So he says, who am I speaking to, please? Actually, I think that should be, whom am I speaking to? But we will not nitpick. Who am I speaking to, please? And on the other end of the line, the caller says, I am my father. Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, so he has done, Mr. Lee has done studies in when children start to lie. And studies in when children lie, period. He said, one of the things that they do is they'll play games with children. They'll have some cards and they'll have numbers written on them. And only the instructor, the auditor, will know what's on the cards. And they'll tell the children that they're going to play a game, and the children is supposed to guess the numbers on the card. And if they do guess the numbers on the card, sorry, my voice cracked there a little bit. If they do guess the numbers on the card, then they'll get a treat. So there's some motivation for the child to actually guess the numbers right on the card, which they cannot see. And then what they do is they make sure that the instructor is called away for some reason during the game, and the instructor will say, "Now, don't peek at the cards." And then, of course, when the instructor leaves, he said, "More than 90% of the children will peek as soon as we leave the room because they want the prize." But then when the instructor comes back, the instructor will ask, "So, did you peek?" And, you know, by this, they've kind of been able to judge when children start to lie. So he said, regardless of gender, country, religion, he said at about 2 years old, 30% will lie, and 70% will tell the truth about their transgression. He said at 3 years of age, 50% will lie, 50% will tell the truth. So by the time you get to age four or more, you've got 80% lying. Now, let me back up a little bit. That means that the flesh is actually kind of already kicking in at 4 years of age. But I think pretty much as anybody who's been a parent can tell you, the flesh will kick in a lot earlier than that. So maybe that's not a good indication of when the flesh kicks in, because by the time you make it to your twos, usually the flesh has already kicked in pretty strongly, especially if there is a brother or sister involved. But anyways, he did say, you know, that some children will begin telling lies as young as 2 years old. Sort of to put parents' minds at ease, he did note that there's really two key ingredients that you need in the theory of mind, or mind, two key ingredients that you're going to need in order to lie. Which this was pretty interesting. The first is mind reading ability. In the theory of mind, you need mind reading ability. So you need the capability to understand that the person you are communicating with does not know a piece of information. Because if you don't have that piece, like if the person was in the room when you flipped over the card and looked at the card and then put it over, and then that person subsequently said, "Did you look at the card?" Well, if you don't realize what the other person has the potential to know, according to your own experience, then you might say, "No, I didn't look at the card," when they were just standing there watching you look at the card. So in order to lie, you have to have a certain mind-reading, quote-unquote, ability. And that mind-reading ability really comes down to understanding that different people have different knowledge about the situation, and you need to be able to differentiate what you know and what they know. Okay? Because that tells you when you can lie. The second key, he said, ingredient for good lying is self-control. So you got to be able to control your speech, your facial expressions, and your body language so that you can tell a convincing lie. And he said that they have found that those young children who have more advanced mind reading and self-control abilities tell lies earlier and more sophisticated, and they are more sophisticated liars. And in his opinion, as it turns out, these two abilities are also essential for all of us to function well in society. He said, in fact, deficits in mind reading and self-control abilities are associated with serious developmental problems. He said, so if you discover that your two-year-old is telling his or her first lie, instead of being alarmed, you should celebrate that, because it signals that your child has reached a milestone of typical development. Okay, well, I'm not sure celebration is in order when children start lying. And I always think it's a good idea for us as parents to steer children away from fleshly behavior, but at least it is true that there is a certain sophistication in our mental abilities that is required for us to tell a good lie. Anyways, so the next thing that they were looking at is they were trying to figure out, okay, so how good are we at determining when a child is lying? He actually played two different clips, and he said, see if you can figure out which of these children is lying, because one is telling the truth, one is lying. So he played these two clips. In the first one, a boy is asked, did you lie? And he kind of shudders for a minute, and he's asked, did you look at the card? That's what it is. Did you peek? Did you look at the card? And he kind of shudders a little bit, and he looks down, and he looks up, and he says, no. And the second one is a young girl. Did you look at the card? And she looks dead on, bang, straight right at the person and says, no. And I thought when I saw that, well, obviously she's lying. Because one of the things I think you can tell when somebody is lying is when their immediate response is to deny the fact that they're lying. Whenever you put an honest heart, whenever you put it on the spot, it's going to like double check. And then it's going to like imagine what it would be like to be caught lying before it finally says, no, but I didn't do that. And so there's going to be this cascade of reactions for an honest heart. And that boy was showing that cascade of reactions. But the girl, there was none of that. She was just like, no. And just... it was obvious to me at least that she was trying to control her reactions so that people would believe what she was saying. And for me, that's a sign somebody's lying, especially when it comes out of the blue. Now, if you're asking a whole series of questions, you know, no, are you sure you didn't lie? No. Are you sure you didn't lie? No. Okay, well, by that time, a person has gotten used to the questions being asked, and you don't necessarily get that cascade. But out of the blue, first time, yeah, sensitive hearts, good hearts, they will take a moment to consider. Anyways, neither here nor there. Most people, apparently, in the TED Talk believe that the kid that shuddered was the one that's lying. But so I got that one right. Yay! And then, since I got it right, I can find all kinds of ways to justify the fact that I got it right. And then if I would get it wrong, I would have to find all kinds of ways to justify the fact that I got it wrong. Okay, because that's the way that we work as humans. I'm getting my mail, one moment. Yada, 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 yada. I signed up for some things to get some points on some things that I was doing, and because of that, I have gotten 6 free issues of Glamour magazine. I think much to my wife's chagrin. So I should be running out of issues. Usually what I do is I just kind of bring it into the house but don't really show her, and then I pitch it. So I do flip through it real quick because I'm always fascinated to see the tone and the tenor. The subject matter and the tenor of the articles that are in these quote-unquote women's magazines. Because I find that stuff absolutely fascinating. Just so interesting. So, anyways. So we went through that. And then he said, we've given people this same type of test, because we're interested in knowing whether or not people can tell if children are lying. He said, so we've gone through and we've given this test to all kinds of different people. And he said, try to tell me. Well, let's see, we already did that part. So he said, let's find out how these adults performed. He said, there are many liars as truth tellers. So if you guess randomly, there's a 50% chance you're going to get it right. So if your accuracy is around 50%, it means that you are a terrible detector of children's lies. So they said, well, let's start with undergrads and law students. People who typically have limited experience with children. No, they cannot detect lies. Okay. How about social workers and child protection lawyers? Can they detect children's lies? No. What about judges, custom officers, and police officers who deal with liars on a daily basis? No, they can't either. What about parents? Can parents detect other children's lies? No, they can't. This was the surprising one. Well, can parents detect their own children's lies? And the answer is no, which is kind of bad. So, he said, the problem is that when children lie, their facial expression is typically neutral. However, behind this neutral expression, the child is actually experiencing a lot of emotions, such as fear, guilt, shame, and maybe a little bit of liar's delight. Liar's delight is a little micro expression that manifests itself in a little smirk when someone gets away with a lie. And if you know what you're looking for, sometimes you can catch it on that. Anyways, he said, unfortunately, such emotions are either fleeting or hidden. Therefore, it's almost invisible to us. Now then, this whole thing comes down to this. This guy and his team have actually developed a better mechanism for lie detection and, according to them, a whole bunch of other stuff. So they can use just a regular video camera and they can run it through some processing filters and they can detect the flow of blood vessels beneath the skin. And he said, what's interesting is those changes are regulated by the autonomic system, and that's beyond our conscious control, supposedly. So by looking at the facial blood flow changes, we can reveal people's hidden emotions. They use a technology they call, they said they have developed this new imaging technology. They call it transdermal optical imaging. Yeah, So basically, you can take any video camera from the sounds of it, and you can just, regular video camera, you can point it at somebody, and you can be talking to them, and you can actually, through this transdermal optical imaging, figure out what parts of their face are getting blood flow, and predict on the basis of that whether they are lying or not. You can also predict other things in conjunction with that. He had a whole series of things that he could tell that he could. He said, for example, every day I Skype my parents who live thousands of miles away. Using this technology, I can not only find out what's going on in their lives, but also simultaneously monitor their heart rate, their stress level, their mood, and whether or not they're experiencing pain. And he said, you may ask, can we also use this to reveal politicians' emotions? For example, during a debate, well, the answer is yes. We can also use this in marketing research to find out whether or not people like certain consumer products. We can even use it in dating. So, for example, if your date is smiling at you, this technology can help you to understand whether she actually likes you or is just trying to be nice to you. He said, right now, transdermal optical imaging technology is at a very early stage of development. Many new applications will come about that we don't know about today. However, one thing I know is for sure, that lying will never be the same. So you really kind of have a couple of choices here as far as in the next 5 years or so, You really, really better get really, really good at lying, because as you can imagine, this is going to be on everybody's cell phone and everybody will pay for it. You know, or instead of working and working and working and working to become a better liar and figuring out some way to control the blood flow below your face, you really could just decide that you're going to do your best to live a life of honesty. And if you do get into a situation where you would prefer not to speak your mind, you can very honestly look at a person and say, you know, I'm really not comfortable expressing an opinion on that. Because I think people would understand that, especially if they're like holding up a cell phone going, do you think these pants make me look fat? You know, honestly, I'm really not comfortable expressing an opinion on that, because there's really nothing I can say here that's going to work out well, except to defer and say, sweetie, if you like those pants, you should get those pants. And it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks about them. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.